In the 4 years since Hurricane Katrina devastated the Gulf Coast, New Orleans trumpeter Terrence Blanchard has used his music to explore the questions and emotions that have affected him and his hometown. In his 2007 release, A Tale of God's Will, a Requiem for Katrina, Blanchard says he tried to find spiritual answers and comfort in the wake of the tragedy. For his latest project, Choices, Blanchard continues the discussion with help from Cornel West and tries to answer more of the questions raised by Katrina and its aftermath. Choices also explores the decisions we make as individuals and as part of the larger society. We'll talk with Terrence Blanchard in just a moment. But if you have questions for Terrence Blanchard about his process in using music to open up a larger dialogue and how his hometown of New Orleans is recovering, our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. And you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Choices is the name of the new CD, and Terrence Blanchard is here in studio with me. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
Your last album, right after the storm, A Tale of God's Will, there was kind of a through line. We could hear the anguish of the storm and the loss of life and property, and there's a little hope at the end. The new album, Choices, it's a little more chaotic. There's a little more turmoil there.
Well, the new album is really about the renovation and resurgence of the city, you know, and the choices that we're making to kind of to not only better our community, but, you know, we also want to raise the debate about the choices we have made that have put us in that predicament in the first place. But I look at it as a means to kind of create the debate about the positive things that are going on, because there are a lot of great things going on in the city right now.
Like what?
Well, in the music side, the Thelonious Monk Institute of Jazz, which is an institution that I've been a part of for about 10 years, we moved to New Orleans 2 years ago, and we've always had a big commitment to community service. And what we do is we have graduate students that we choose from all around the world, and we give them a two-year commitment. And we take them and we have them go into the middle schools and the high schools and work with young students to help prepare them and inspire them to be jazz musicians. I'm also working with the Lieutenant Governor's Office, Mitch Landrieu, to revitalize the U.S. Mint building. We're going to renovate it and make it a first-class performance space. And we're also going to put a jazz museum on the second floor of that building. I'm also working with another group called Music National Services, which is kind of like a music, it's kind of like a Teach for America program, where we bring it. Well, we will bring in educators. We're trying to bring educators to the city, older educators who were there, and new people into the music world. We have four that we've brought in so far, and we have them working with kids from kindergarten through third grade. And we have four teachers working with 800 students. So those are just some of the things that are happening on the music side. That's the area that that's where my level of expertise resides. But there are a lot of other things that are going on as well.
Do you think the sound of the music being created there is different since the storm?
In a subtle way. The characteristics of New Orleans, that's never going to go. The character of the city is always going to be a part of whatever it is that we do. But I think there are some subtle changes, and I think it all has to do with the intent of the stories. There are a lot of people who, we've all been shaken to our core. I mean, let's face facts. I mean, this is a very tragic event to deal with, and it's made us all reassess what's important to us. So just in that regard itself, I think music has changed a bit.
Do you think there was a time, and maybe it's still going on, when the tourists went away and who was left was the locals, and they had more of a chance to feed on each other a little bit and learn from each other without having to please a tourist crowd?
Well, I think that's still going on. I think it really started right in the aftermath of the hurricane, because when you're dealing with survival, all of those other things that we kind of use to polarize ourselves with, all of those things go out the window. But I think when you look at what has happened politically in New Orleans, we got to a point where, you know, we felt like we couldn't trust our political leaders. So there are a lot of people who have come together who wouldn't normally work together in any other instance, but they're working together now to create a better environment for a lot of folks. There are things going on in the school system that just it's really amazing, and it's being done through the collaborations of a lot of different folks from a lot of different areas and walks of life.
For your new CD Choices, you collaborated with Cornel West, a professor mm-hmm. at Princeton. I actually want to play a clip so we can listen to what that sounds like.
I consider myself a jazz man in the world of ideas, a blues man in the life of the mind, because my models, jazz musicians and blues men, who have to find their voices, not just be echoes, who had to have a vision, not just a stare. And in the end, have to be true to themselves, because all imitation is suicide. All emulation is a sign of an adolescent mind. Now, all of us imitate, all of us emulate. But the ones who love us, the way Monk loved Coltrane, you don't need to imitate Johnny Hodges. Go on and find your voice, brother.
So what role did you want Cornel West to have in this project? What do you think he adds to it?
Well, I mean, he's a brilliant speaker, and he's one of the greatest minds of our time. And I knew that in tackling a lot of these topics that, you know, there were some tough things to deal with and to put in perspective, you know. And I felt like, you know, doing it through song, you know, wasn't the direction that I really wanted to go. I immediately thought about spoken word, and with that thought came along the only possible choice, which was Dr. West, because I think, excuse me, he has an uncanny ability to take all of these things and put them in a very concise statement for all of us to understand in a very much more manageable way. I've listened to him speak on a number of occasions, and he has he speaks with a lot of passion. I think he's right. He is like a jazz man in a world of ideas, because he speaks with that same type of passion and
rhythm.
There you go. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have thought of anyone else to do this with. And basically what you hear on the CD is just a conversation we had, mm-hmm. basically.
Well, he says at the end of that clip we just played, mm-hmm. you go on and find your own voice.
Right,
do you feel exactly. like you have?
You know, we're in the process of evolving. You know, that's the way that I always like to look at it. I think, you know, one of the things about life in general is that we're constantly finding ourselves. I don't think, you know, I don't think we ever feel like we ever really reach a particular point. But, you know, it's an ongoing journey.
My guest is jazz trumpeter Terrence Blanchard. You can join us at 800-989-8255 or send us email talk@npr.org. You actually recorded this CD mm-hmm. in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Is that the first time you've done that?
Yeah, oddly enough. I mean, I've been in the business for about 2 weeks, and it's taken me all of this time to record in New Orleans. But it was a lot of fun. And part of the reason why we did it is because the place that we chose, which was chosen by my wife, she went to a gala there at the Ogden Museum, and she was on the board. And when she saw this room, she thought it was amazing and thought that it had great acoustics and wanted me to check it out. And I did, but the real reason why we chose it is because it kind of represents what's going on in New Orleans. It's a very historic place that's not only renovating it, but it's trying to update it and upgrade it and make it an extremely new experience for a lot of people who go to visit the museum.
Let's hear from Trish in Lafayette, Louisiana. Trish, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to respond to Terrence's comment about our Lieutenant Governor Mitch Landrieu, who realizes that cultural workers such as musicians, artists, chefs are one of the reasons that people come to mm-hmm. New Orleans and are coming back there.
Right.
The state has, it's called the Louisiana Cultural Economy Foundation,
mm-hmm.
and they exist just to give grants to increase the business opportunities for musicians, artists, and any kind of cultural worker. And so to see him working, Terrence working with Mitch to turn the Mint Building into a performance venue is just a win-win situation, both for the performing musicians and for people who love New Orleans and love to come to Louisiana.
So. You're exactly right. And I think one of the things I need to say also about the project is that it's not only going to be a performance space, but we want to actually equip the space. The space with high-tech technology, which will allow us to do broadcasts of all different types via television broadcasts, radio broadcasts, and be able to stream those things around the world.
without being an enormous downer, because we've talked mm-hmm. about some of the really hopeful things going on in the city, mm-hmm. what questions do you feel like are still not answered well enough? You talked about a lack of confidence in your elected officials. What would better leadership bring, do you think? What questions are leaders not answering?
Well, I mean, right now, I mean, for a lot of us, is what's going on with the levees. I mean, that's in the back of our minds. It's not something that we talk about a great deal, but it can be a part of the conversation. Also, what's happening...
You mean with getting them rebuilt or with what happened during the storm?
Getting them rebuilt, you know, making sure that they hold. We had Gustav, and we felt kind of secure with those, but... You know, in the back of your mind, you still want to know exactly what's going on. Because with some of the locks, we heard that they weren't working properly. But hopefully all of that stuff has been taken care of. And then for me, frankly, leadership for the future. And that's the big question for me. What's going to happen in the future? We're about to have a mayoral race. And just trying to see who's going to run, who's going to have the best vision. For the city, because I think right now it's a very crucial moment in our time. I think we need to have somebody who has a broad vision, somebody who's actually very courageous and taking some steps. That may ruffle some feathers, actually, because right now it's about survival for us. It's not about politics. It's about really doing what's best for the community.
You scored a Spike Lee movie when the levees broke, and mm-hmm. it included your mom.
Yes.
How is she?
She's fine.
How's her house and her neighborhood and all that?
Well, her house is fine. We rebuilt the house, and she's back to being a mom. She's still telling me to put out the trash when I'm there, so she's okay. The neighborhood is coming back slowly. There are a number of people who are back. It's about half of the residents are there. But, you know, it's still one of those things where there are a lot of people who have been struggling around the country, you know, to come back. And the one thing that I fear is that some of those folks will never come back because they've, you know, they've put down roots in these communities where they are. You know, it's been a number of years since the hurricane, and some of these folks have kids that are in school and they're establishing new relationships. But having said that, there are a lot of people who have come back. And the most exciting thing about New Orleans is that, you know, it is one of the most fastest growing cities in the country right now. I mean, and we have
Well, when you start from that small, you grow pretty fast.
Right, that's true. You can only go up.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take a call from Diane in Burlingame, California. Diane, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. Look, honey, I'd like to let you know there are hundreds of thousands of us out here flung across the country mm-hmm. who desperately want to come home.
I know.
And believe me, it's the music that feeds our soul. Mm. It's the music. When the musicians come out here, we don't have the money to go, but if it's free, we go and listen. Mm-hmm. I remember coming up, we go to Chicago and New York, mm-hmm. and all the folks would come cook, and they listen to music, mm-hmm. and it was always joyful. Mm-hmm. But now when we listen to the music, we cry. Mm-hmm. We cry because we desperately want to come home and see these elections and things. Mm-hmm. It's like they threw us out and are making sure we're not able to come home. Mm-hmm. There's no housing, there's no jobs, there are no schools, and there's no health care. Mm-hmm. And it's like they want to make sure we're not able to come back home. And I want to applaud you for the effort you're making. And I hope you're working with Chuck Seiler at the museum.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes. Yeah.
But look, I'm serious. We hunger for all the news, but we live on the music. And thank you so much for thinking of us.
Diane, thanks for your call.
Well, thank you for the call, too. And see, it's people like that that inspire us to do what we're doing because, you know, we always, New Orleans is a very small town. You know, I mean, it's a big city in terms of what is given to the world, but it's a small community. And the passion that you just heard is what we all feel, you know, growing up in that city. And I know that there are people like that all around the country. I run into them during my shows, you know. So we're not trying to forget those folks, you know. And that's another reason why we did the CD is to continue the discussion about what's going on in New Orleans. Because there are a lot of positive things going on, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, we still have a long way to go. And we still have to make sure that for those people who don't have the resources to come home, who don't have the wherewithal, we need to try to find some solutions for them. Because she's right. I mean, the housing thing is a big issue. you know, in New Orleans right now. And most people know that we've done away with a lot of the projects, and we're trying to build low-income housing. But it's a political quagmire right now, you know. But we have to find some solutions for all of these people.
I don't want to let you go without asking about another project you've worked on. You scored the film The Princess and the Frog, which I'm going to have to borrow a girl child as cover to go see it because my sons would never be caught dead in a princess movie. But it's set in New Orleans, and
yes.
It's in the 20s, right?
It's in the 20s. I didn't score it. Randy Newman scored it. What I did was I am the trumpet sound.
Oh, really?
Of Louis the Alligator, who plays the trumpet.
So you're an alligator.
Yes. Actually, and it was a lot of fun, man. We just finished, like, last week recording the music, and I can't wait to see it. I mean, because it was really great going to Disney, and they took me around, and they showed me the area where the animators work, and it's, you know, what's really amazing about it, they put a lot of time and effort in designing these characters. They really engrossed themselves in the community. They spent time in Louisiana, and even for some of the names that they want to use, in the cartoon, they started to ask me about people that I grew up listening to in New Orleans and wanted to incorporate some of those names. They actually had me record a trumpet tune that was composed by Alvin Alcorn, and he is the reason why I'm playing the trumpet, a local musician in New Orleans.
Terrence Blanchard. He's currently on an international tour to promote his latest project, Choices. He joined us today here in Studio 3A. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
For a free downloadable performance of the Terrence Blanchard Quintet, head on over to npr.org. Tomorrow, Neil Conan returns, and we'll talk about the virtue of forgetting in a digital age. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Rebecca Roberts.